Now, we have come to the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And actually, you've heard me say this before, that we've come to the high point. I mentioned that, you will recall, back in a preceding chapter. Well, it was the high point up to that point. And the Gospel of John, to me, is like climbing up a mountain. And each chapter brings you a little higher than the other place. And that preceding chapter was the high point up to then. But we're not at the top of the mountain. And I don't think we're at the top of the mountain here in chapter 11. But we have come to a high point. And if you will look at it from this viewpoint, why did John write this gospel? And it might be well for us to state again why he wrote this gospel. He says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." And by the way, that's found in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And we go back to the very beginning, and it started off, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And when he was made flesh, why, we saw that by miracle and parable and discourse that this great thesis has been sustained." Now, the supreme question that can be asked is this: can Christ raise the dead? And that's the big question in any religion. And friends, that's the big question in this life here. We speak today of the fact that death is a great mystery. Well, this life is a great mystery too. And this life is practically meaningless if there is no resurrection of the dead. And for a Christian, we are of all men most miserable. The question that you'd ask of any religion, does it have power over death? Now, liberalism has long ago thrown out the miraculous. And they use, I think, the most illogical argument: anything in the Scripture that's miraculous, that doesn't belong there. Not because of any scholarly reason, but just because they don't believe in the miraculous, you see. Just like a man eating fish, and he doesn't believe in bones. And when he comes to a bone, why, he ignores it. He doesn't believe that fish have bones. He's in trouble. In fact, he might even choke to death. And there's the miraculous in Scripture. You can't throw it out, and you can't get rid of the bodily resurrection. They explain it away, of course, in many ways. There's a substitute teaching, a synthetic doctrine, and you hear it stated like this: "I believe in a religion of the here and now, not hereafter. It's pie in the sky, by and by, and we don't go for that. We want a meat and potatoes religion. We want one that's practical and not theoretical. We want one that has practice in it and not doctrine. And you want to know something, that's the kind I want also. But my friend, I want a hope." You see, you get a lot of benefits right here and now, but the greatest benefit is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And it seems to me to be very practical to ask the question, will the dead be raised? Life is so brief. Life's little day compared to eternity is nothing. And with thousands of boys that have had their lives snuffed out on every battlefield of the world, that's a good question. Will the dead be raised? And I had a funeral of a very wonderful Christian man, and there sat his wife and his mother. May I say to you, they found the resurrection very practical. And when you go out and stand at the graveside, I tell you, if you haven't any hope, you're whistling in the dark and singing in the rain, and you're giving out the blues, you're singing the blues, And all you've got is a rock festival, and I think it's rocks in your head when you get to the place. You have no hope after this life. Now, isms, they make some startling claims, but as far as I know, only one or two of them have ever claimed they can raise the dead. The only thing is they never produce the body, the corpus delicti. Now, the resurrection has to do with the raising of the body. The Lord Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, they were to heal the sick, but they also to raise the dead. When they healed the sick, it was the body in that day, and when they raised the dead, it was the body that was raised. Now, they promise so much here, but nothing hereafter, and that's like giving a baby a rattle to play with while he's in this life. May I say, it reminds me of something that, very frankly, I'm afraid a great many people are taking today, and that's an airplane trip. And they tell me that it's more difficult to land a plane than to take off, that actually a novice can take off, but it takes an expert to land a plane. And liberalism and the isms remind me of taking off in a plane with a pilot who takes you up into the clouds and gives you a few thrills. Finally, when the gas runs low, he calmly informs you that he's never landed a plane. In fact, he cannot land one. It was a nice ride while it lasted, but you know it's pretty important to be able to come into the airport, friends. And by the way, I'd ask you the question, you're flying high today? Well, you're going to land one of these days. You got someone that can bring you into the airport. It's very important. And the supreme test, therefore, is life after death. Personally, if I was looking for a religion, I'd want to know what a religion has to say about this, and I'd want a modicum of proof. Now, there are, in the Gospels, three recorded instances of Christ raising the dead. Actually, both Peter and Paul raised the dead. And the great hope of the Christian faith is the resurrection of the dead. Of the three instances in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, the first three give about the little girl raised from the dead. Only Luke gives about the little girl and the widow's son of Nain. And now only John gives the account of the resurrection of Lazarus. If you put these three together, you'll find out the Lord Jesus raised the little girl, and that is a child. And then he raised a young man, the widow's son of Nain, and then he raised Lazarus, and he was an old man, I think. And so you have our Lord in the resurrection. We'll have no separation, generation gap of children being sent to one department, the young married sent to another, the old people put in a retirement home. They're all going to be raised together. And I would say hallelujah to that. We talk about the breakdown today of races. There's a breakdown today in age groups that I think the church has promoted that is almost sinful. But you see, I'm a retired preacher now, and I don't know why a retired preacher becomes an expert on everything that he didn't do himself. Well, let me begin reading now. I wanted you to have this introduction to this very marvelous chapter.